Hello, everybody, and welcome to the very first episode of No Flags with Alphonso McCree Jr., the sports talk show that brings passionate sports talk without the gimmicks and none of the penalties. No Flags is here to be clean, to be family friendly, and to, of course, give you quality sports talk. Today, I'm going to share why this show exists, who I am, what you can expect from the show going forward, and of course, we still have room to get into some of the hot sports topics percolating around the nation today. So who am I? Again, I'm Alphonso McCree Jr., and I am a sportscasting major out of Full Sail University's Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting, valedictorian of my graduating class, and personally mentored by Dan Patrick, Gus Ramsey, Eric Rutledge, people with hundreds of combined years of experience in this industry. And they have trained me to be excellent at what I do, to bring facts, to bring stories. And that's exactly what I'm going to bring to you guys. When we talk about the energy of this show, No Flags, No Flags is here to serve as an alternative to a lot of what we see in sports media today. And I'm not here to throw shade at those sports media shows, platforms, anything, because I'm a fan of those shows. You name it, I watch it. Pat McAfee, The Dan Patrick Show, Stephen A. Smith, Gil's Arena, all that stuff. I watch all of it. I love all of it. However, I know that not all of it is for everybody. And so I'm here to give you an alternative, another option, something that's maybe a little bit more family friendly, something that gives you different viewpoints on certain topics, just anything that you're looking for something different. I've got you guys covered. As far as me, just to give you guys a little background, Green Bay Packers fan, big Green Bay Packers fan, Washington Wizards fan, Washington Nationals fan. I watch a little bit of hockey as well, Pittsburgh Penguins fan, and I am a huge, huge wrestling fan. So you will get a lot of WWE content, some AEW content, TNA stuff. I trained in wrestling. I was trained by Devon Dudley, WWE and TNA Hall of Famer. So pretty well connected. I worked for WWE for a little bit. One of their marketing manager for NXT is one of my closest friends. I may have him on here from time to time, not to talk WWE because that would be in violation of his contract, but to talk football, which is another expertise of his. He's a Detroit Lions fan, and so it gets kind of fun between him and I. But I think the most important thing is that I understand the need to provide family-friendly content. And that's because I'm a family man myself. I have a wife, two beautiful children, four pets. I understand the family life. I understand that there's some things you can't play in front of your children that you maybe would be able to play in your own private, you know, area, your own private time in the car by yourself, things like that. But sometimes, you know, you got the kids in the car. You want some sports content to still listen to. And that's what I'm here for. And I hope that you guys enjoy what I bring to the table every week. And I hope you guys enjoy the conversations, the guests that I bring on, and the deep dives that we'll do into a lot of these topics. You know, we're not here necessarily to do surface level hot takes, although you will get the occasional hot take. That's not what this show is going to be built around. The show is going to be built around substance and statistics, data. And, you know, we just hope that that is something that you guys gravitate towards, and I'm confident that you guys will. And again, you know, the emphasis is on clean conversation. So if you're ever listening to sports talk with your son, maybe you have a young son and you want to listen to sports talk radio, but you want something that's not vulgar and you want something that is respectful, I'm your guy. I got you. I got you. But again, No Flags. What do we stand for? Clean sports talk, balanced coverage, culture and sports. And honestly, we want to touch on different things, you know, like a lot of times we end up seeing the same topics discussed on a lot of sports shows. We know that. And obviously, you know, when there's a hot topic, you got to talk about it. But how many times can you talk about the same thing? You know, we saw that a lot with the Micah Parsons situation. And I get it was an ongoing saga. I'm very happy with how it turned out, obviously, as a Packers fan. But seeing them talk about it every single day, even when there was nothing really new coming out from the story, seeing them talk about it every single day, it did get very, very old. It was one of those things like, okay, at this rate, just let me know when something actually happens, because you guys have just been talking and talking and talking about this thing and nothing is actually going on. And so we're going to try to stray away from doing that type of stuff. We're going to try to, mix up the topics, mix up the sports that we talk about. Obviously, like I said, I watch all the sports. I will talk about the things that I have expertise in. I do watch hockey, but it's not my expertise, but I will talk about it when I have something of substance to say. I'll say that. And of course, WWE. We have a lot of wrestling fans, man. And a lot of you should be wrestling fans that aren't. You guys don't understand what you're missing out on. So we're gonna get a lot of different stuff like that. And then, of course, there's other sports that I might not watch, but I have friends who do. We're talking golf, tennis, things like that. There will be room made for those kinds of discussions to take place here on the show. I will just be bringing in experts who understand those sports to come in and talk about it so that we can still serve that demographic of you all who love to watch those sports that I might not enjoy watching so much. It's very important to me that I step into this show with full confidence. And it's been a little bit of a, I'll say a procrastination of bringing a show like this to light on my part, because of the fact that, I'm not a former player. I never actually worked as a journalist. Yes, I have a degree in sportscasting, but I never worked as a journalist. So, a lot of people that you see on TV, they're former athletes or they were journalists at some point. And then they found themselves on ESPN or Fox Sports or CBS Sports or something like that. I didn't have that. And so for me, it was a bit of a struggle figuring out how to make myself credible in presenting a show like this. How do I make myself as credible as humanly possible? And what I realized is I'm already credible because I know my stuff, and you guys will come to find that out pretty soon. And I had to dive deep into myself in order to understand that I do know my stuff. I do know what it is that I'm talking about. And, just with a little bit of preparation before each show, I will be perfectly fine. I will be perfectly fine. And I'm glad that I was able to push through that barrier. And I'm hoping that all of you in your own personal ventures are able to push through whatever barriers it is that you guys have in front of you that are keeping you from, pursuing something that you feel super drawn to. I've always felt drawn to doing a sports podcast, but of course, again, the credibility was always my blockage, I can't do it because, and now that's out of the way. I'm not allowing that to be an excuse. I'm finding a reason that's greater than my greatest excuse, right? As they like to say. So let's get into our sports topics of today. We are entering into week 4 of the NFL season. As of this recording, we have already played the first game of week 4, which was last night. The Seattle Seahawks took on the Arizona Cardinals and won on a last second field goal. And it was a fantastic game, 23-20. For a while, it looked like the Cardinals were not going to be able to muster anything on offense. And then all of a sudden, the fourth quarter happened and they turned it on. Marvin Harrison got going. He was struggling early in the game. You could say he was responsible for both of Kyler Murray's interceptions, and he bounced back, called a touchdown in the second half. The Cardinals ended up tying up the game, but they left a little bit too much time for Sam Darnold and the Seattle Seahawks. They go down and kick a game-winning field goal to win 23-20, which honestly might not have happened if Arizona's kicker had actually kicked the ball into the landing zone. He didn't kick the ball into the landing zone. It fell short. And as a result, the ball was put onto the 40, which was much better field position than the Seahawks were expecting. And he was trying to squib it, but he should have really just kicked it deep. I never really understand the squib, and especially not in these new rules where you can't move until the person gets the ball anyway. You know, it just doesn't make any sense to squib it, in my opinion, anymore. But that's what they tried to do, and it bit them. But I'm not here to talk about the Arizona Cardinals. What I'm actually here to talk about is Caleb Williams. And I'm going to sound very, very biased here as a Packers fan talking about the Bears starting quarterback, our arch rival, the Chicago Bears, who we have beaten numerous times over the past two decades. I believe we've only lost to them six times over the past two decades, or at least until, because Aaron Rodgers took over the starting job in Green Bay in, I believe, 2007, if memory is suiting me correctly. He went 6-10 that year, but he only lost to the Bears five times, and he played for the Green Bay Packers as their starter from 2007 all the way until 2022. Five losses in 15 years from Aaron Rodgers. Of course, Jordan Love beat them in the first matchup last season, the 2024 season, for the Green Bay Packers' only division win of the 2024 season. And the Packers ended up losing in Week 18 to the Bears at Lambeau, which was just really disappointing, honestly. You know, you just don't like losing to the Bears. You know, we beat them so much, you don't like losing to the Bears. But Caleb Williams got it done, albeit against our backup quarterback. He got it done. And that leads me to what we've seen this season, and most recently what we saw in his performance against the Dallas Cowboys. There's been a lot of talk now about Caleb Williams. Has Caleb Williams taken that next step? Is his performance against the Dallas Cowboys? I think that's a little bit of a stretch. In fact, I'm willing to say that's a big stretch, but I will give him his credit. 19-28, 298 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions. QB rating, it was pretty much perfect, 142.6. By the way, what is the difference between QBR and QB rating? I mean, we got two different ratings. We have 85.9 and we have 142.6. They're both great. However, this is Caleb Williams' really first game where he's actually looked that good, that dominant. Allow me to jog your memory a little bit here. Now, I just told you, in that game against Dallas, Caleb Williams had a QBR of 85.9. Last season, Caleb Williams had a QBR of 43.3. 43.3. Now, granted, he threw 3,541 yards, 20 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and he was sacked 68 times. That could have a lot to do with it. However, in the first two games of this season so far, let's not pretend that Caleb Williams has looked all world. Again, this is the first game where he's truly looked like a dominant quarterback. In the opening game of the season, Minnesota Vikings, they hold a big lead. Minnesota comes all the way back to win 27-24. Caleb Williams in that game, 21 of 35, 210 yards, one touchdown, no picks, but a QBR of 68.4. Everything looked great on that first drive where they went down and scored. Oh man, Soldier Field's going crazy. They go down and score on the first drive. They're looking like world beaters now. But they let the Vikings come all the way back. And when Caleb Williams needed to make a play to close the game out, he just couldn't find a game-winning drive to do it. He couldn't find that clutch drive. He couldn't make it happen. Fast forward to the next week. You face a Detroit Lions team who gave up 27 points, only scored 6 to Green Bay the week before. Now, they put up 52 on you. That's not Caleb Williams' fault, obviously. But they win 52-21. And to be completely honest with you, They really won 52-14. That last touchdown by DeAndre Swift was in garbage time. He goes 19 for 30 for 207 yards, two touchdowns, one interception, a QBR of 40.4. 40.4. And then he sets the world on fire against the Dallas Cowboys. And now all of a sudden, we are looking at Caleb Williams as if he's got everything figured out. Now, look, who knows? Maybe he does. Maybe it takes a game like this for you to figure things out, right? But this is the Dallas Cowboys defense that's giving up 30.7 points per game. 30.7 points per game. 288 passing yards allowed per game. 109.7 rushing yards allowed per game. This defense has not been good. Everybody knows this. Dallas fans know it. Every other fan of every other team in the league knows it. The Dallas Cowboys players know it. Jerry Jones knows it. You could say this has a lot to do with their decision to rid themselves of Micah Parsons in exchange for Kenny Clark and two first-round picks. You could say that. But this defense was bad when they had Micah Parsons, and they're bad now. They're terrible now. They're even worse. But this is who Caleb Williams put up great numbers against. And my concern is that we're going to crown him again this week when he has a great game, because I'm assuming he's going to have a fantastic game against the Las Vegas Raiders. This is a Las Vegas Raiders team that's giving up 24 points per game. This is a Las Vegas Raiders team that's giving up 237 passing yards per game and is giving up 114 rushing yards per game. That's worse than Dallas, by the way. This is a Las Vegas Raiders team that just lost 41-24. To the Washington Commanders, led by Marcus Mariota. There's no shade to Marcus Mariota. He's probably one of the better backup quarterbacks in football. Former number two overall pick to the Tennessee Titans. Former Heisman Trophy winner. Obviously, his career hasn't turned out the way that he would have planned. I mean, at this point, he probably still would have expected to be the Tennessee Titans' starting quarterback, their franchise quarterback. It didn't work out like that, but he still found himself on rosters, including Las Vegas Raiders roster, by the way, in which he did not play very well, but he's played very, very well in both appearances that he's had for the Washington Commanders so far. If you think back to Week 18, last season, against the Dallas Cowboys, he played very well in that game. They won that game. But this is Marcus Mariota that we're talking about. They gave up, the Raiders I'm talking about, 201 rushing yards to the Washington Commanders on 32 attempts. Ladies and gentlemen, that's 6.3 yards per carry. 6.3 yards per carry. They also gave up 9 yards per pass. They only sacked Marcus Mariota one time. The The Commanders were 50% on third downs. Never had to go for it on the fourth down, by the way. Didn't have one attempt. Didn't need it. 41 points. The Washington Commanders annihilated the Las Vegas Raiders with a backup quarterback. So what am I expecting Caleb Williams to do? Well, I'm expecting him to have a great game. I'm expecting him to play phenomenally. If he doesn't, something's wrong. Now, will he play as well as he just did against the Cowboys? I don't know about that, because I actually think the Cowboys defense is still worse than the Raiders defense. And obviously, they give up more points per game. So yeah, they are worse. But here's the thing. Caleb Williams is going to have a few cupcake games coming up, at least when it comes to the defenses that he's playing. Now, I get it. Everybody's in the NFL for a reason. You know, these are NFL rosters. I'll give him his credit. When he plays well against these teams like he's supposed to, he'll still get his credit from me. But let's pump the brakes on the hype train, seeing as though his next games are against Las Vegas, a Washington Commanders team who's playing decently on defense. I'll give them that. They're playing decently. So that'll be an actual test. But then you have New Orleans, whose defense has been underwhelming this year, to say the least. You have Baltimore, whose defense has been notoriously terrible this year. You have Cincinnati, whose defense has been horrible for about 5 years now. And then you have New York, whose defense has been actually pretty good, so that'll be a nice test. But his first real test that's coming up will be against Minnesota again on the road. And now this is what I want you to think about. And now this is a long-term thought process here, and I get that. But come back to this podcast. Week 11, November 16th, against Minnesota. And ask yourself, has Caleb Williams actually taken the next step? Because if you don't think Brian Flores is going to have that defense ready to attack everything that Ben Johnson and the Bears did in week one, you got another thing coming. We're going to see what Caleb Williams is really made of. We really are. And now I'm a little bit conflicted about it, because when it comes to Caleb Williams, I actually root for him. I don't root for the Bears, but I root for him because he's from Bowie, Maryland. He's from PG County. That's where I'm from. So with him being a homegrown talent, I root for him. I really do. But we have to see before. It's been one good game, man. One good game. Almost every game last year, he was terrible. Looked confused. Didn't have anything figured out. You can attribute that to the coordinators, the head coach. That's fine. He still did not look good last year. And so far, we only have one game against the worst defense in football in which he has looked good. Let's pump the brakes just a little bit. Let's see what he's able to do. Next, let's talk a little MLB. It's the best time of the year, everybody. It is the absolute best time of the year. It's the MLB postseason. Guys, even if you're not a baseball fan, you cannot sit with a straight face and tell me that the MLB postseason is not one of the best postseasons in the entire world. I'm talking every single postseason you can think of, the MLB rivals it. It's amazing. And this year will be no different. We got some great teams in the playoffs, some different faces. Some familiar faces as well, but some different faces. So far, in the playoffs, clinched, we got the Milwaukee Brewers. NL Central title winners. Number one seed in the National League. They'll get the first round bye. The Philadelphia Phillies, who, man, they've been knocking at the door for years now. That Bryce Harper signing has paid off in a tremendous way. They brought in a lot of talent around him. Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber, who just cannot stop hitting home runs. Nick Castellanos. Their pitching is going to be a question this year. Aaron Nola has not had a good year. But their bats, with that lineup, they've always got a chance. They've already been to a World Series with this roster. Didn't get it done. Lost to Houston, 4-2, including one of those losses being courtesy of a no-hitter in the World Series, which ironically... One of the most memorable no-hitters is Roy Halladay, God rest his soul, who threw a no-hitter in Game 1 of the World Series for the Philadelphia Phillies back in the mid-2000s. This is a roster that has really no excuse not to get it done. They just got to find a way to get it done. But every year they run into somebody. Every year they run into somebody who's better than them. And they just fall short. When are they going to finally break through and get it done? The Cubs are back in the postseason. Postseason is always better when the Cubs are in there. Always better. It's their first playoff appearance. Excepting the 2020 season where there were a bunch of extra teams in the postseason. This is their first real playoff appearance since 2018. So it's been 7 years, and they're going to go head-to-head with the San Diego Padres in the Wild Card Series, and that's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be a lot of fun. The Dodgers, of course, when do they ever miss the postseason? But they're back in. Their season has been a little bit underwhelming this year as well, as far as their record goes. A lot tighter of an NL West race than they probably thought they were going to have. But it was enough to secure the number three seed. They got it done. They won the division again. 12th time in 13 years, they've gotten it done. The Blue Jays are back in the postseason. Of course, the Yankees are here. Now, the Yankees have been very, very inconsistent this year. And what's going to be interesting to see for the Yankees is, does Aaron Judge finally have a batting average over 200 in the postseason? Or is he going to continue to struggle? Because he has struggled tremendously in the postseason. He struggled tremendously in the World Series last year. That was not a good series. And you talk about the two biggest markets in baseball, New York, LA. For that series to go the way it did was, if you're Rob Manfred, that had to be very disappointing. Rob Manfred, obviously the commissioner of Major League Baseball. You know, that had to be a disappointing thing to see. You know, you want a series like that to go seven games, but the Yankees just got destroyed. They never looked like they actually belonged. You lost 4-1. That's a gentleman's sweep. That's not good, obviously. You got the Seattle Mariners, who have clinched their division, the AL West. They've earned a bye in the first round. And they have some of the best fans in baseball. And those fans are going to turn up to see Cal Raleigh and that team try to do what they could not do with Ichiro Suzuki and Ken Griffey Jr. It's their first AL West crown in 24 years. Since that team won it in 2001. But can they get it done? Can they at least get to the ALCS? The last time we saw them in the postseason, they fell to the Astros. You guys remember that 18-inning game? A lot of people say that was a good game. I disagree. I don't think a 0-0 game heading into that many extra innings is a good game. And it ended 1-0. That's boring. I'm sorry. It's boring. It was just a bunch of strikeouts. It's boring. But then finally, the last team that has clinched so far is the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox are back in the postseason once again. And now we have a tight race in both the National League and the American League. Let's start in the American League, where the Detroit Tigers have seen a monumental drop-off of proportions. I don't know if I've seen this in baseball before. They let the Guardians catch up to them, and the Guardians now sit in first place. They're tied for first place. They're both sitting at 86 and 74. But the Detroit Tigers, they can't get this done. They're actually in danger of missing the postseason because the Houston Astros, who just always seem to be in the mix, no matter what, you always think, oh, this is going to be the year that they miss the playoffs. And it never happens. It never happens. They are 85 and 74, right on the heels of the Detroit Tigers and the Cleveland Guardians, but the Cleveland Guardians have all the momentum. They're 7-3 in their last 10. The Tigers, 1-9. And their best pitcher, their ace, Tarik Skubal, just hit somebody in the face the other day with a fastball. What do you think that does for his confidence? Everything seems to be going wrong for the Detroit Tigers. And now they have two games remaining against the Boston Red Sox, a team that just clinched their playoff berth with a win over Detroit, 4-3. They have two more games against them. Cleveland, on the other hand, is facing a Texas team that has been eliminated from playoff contention. Now, they have lost the first game of this series, 7-3. But that's still a more favorable matchup than what the Detroit Tigers have to deal with right now. And then, of course, again, you got the Houston Astros. Hot on the Tigers' trail. They are facing the Los Angeles Angels. Three-game series. As of this recording, they're playing the first game right now. But don't be surprised if you see a sweep in that series and the Astros climbing into that last wild card spot. And then it's going to be up to who can win the division between the Guardians and the Tigers. Are we going to see a game 163? I would love that. That would be awesome. But let's switch over to the National League, where we have three teams fighting for the final spot in the NL wildcard. Now, there's no division that these three teams can win. Their divisions are locked up. Their only way in is to win this wild card. You've got the New York Mets. You've got the Cincinnati Reds. You got the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks have to be the most unlucky of all three of the teams. They're fighting for this last playoff spot in their last six games that they have to play of the season. Actually, last nine games that they have to play of the season. Three against the Phillies, three against the Dodgers, three against the Padres. All three playoff teams. And you know, I guess it's an ultimate test, right? Because, hey man, if you can't get it done against these teams, maybe you don't belong in the postseason. Well, so far, they played their first six of those games, and they're 3-3. They took two from Philly. They took one from the Dodgers, lost a heartbreaker in 11 innings in the second game of that Dodgers series, 5-4. They really could have used that win because that would have had them tied right now with the Cincinnati Reds at 81 and 78. But now they're going to have to hope that they can find a way to defeat the Padres in three straight games. Right now, as of this recording, they're up 2-0 in the third inning against the Padres. We'll see how that goes. Then you have Cincinnati, who's really come out of nowhere, but they've had a great second half of the year. They've strung together a lot of wins, and now they find themselves in the position to potentially overtake the New York Mets. But, man, they kind of squandered up a lot of opportunity when they lost 2 out of 3 to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't lose that. You cannot lose those games like that when you're trying to make the playoffs. The Reds are last in the division. They are 69 and 90. You have to get that done. They did not get that done, but they still find themselves with a chance. But here's the problem. You got 3 games against the number one seed, Milwaukee Brewers. How are you going to find a way to win? Well, as of this recording, they just took game 1, 3-1. So that officially ties them with the Mets for the last wild card spot. And the Mets just lost today to Miami. And Miami, they're not a slouch like you would think they are. Yes, they have definitely struggled for a long period of time, for a lot of years. But ladies and gentlemen, they're 78 and 82, 8-2 in their last 10 games. Last time we saw the Miami Marlins play this well was back in 2020 when they made the postseason. So this isn't going to be a walk in the park for the New York Mets. And it's not surprising to see they lost this game. They were going against Sandy Alcantara, one of the better pitchers, most underrated. Doesn't get a lot of run support, 11-12 on the season, but he's a lot better than what his record shows. They just lost that game. And the Reds, despite their shortcomings in Pittsburgh, still have a chance, still have an opportunity right now to take the Mets' spot in the postseason. The New York Mets, with one of the largest payrolls in the major leagues, are in danger of losing the last wildcard spot. This team was supposed to be competing for the division, for the NL East. They have a payroll of $341 million. Their owner, Steve Cohen, he spends money. He spends a lot of it. But it's been very, very disappointing so far. And now, let's put things into perspective. Because what I don't want is for there to be a misconception about, is he getting his money's worth from the players that he's paying the most? Yeah, he is. He is. The top three highest paid players on this New York Mets roster: Juan Soto, Francisco Lindor, and Pete Alonso. And honestly, let's even throw in Edwin Diaz, their star closer. Well, Pete Alonso leads them in batting average with .271. Juan Soto hit 43 home runs so far this year. Pete Alonso leads them in RBIs with 124. It's very good. On base percentage, .396 for Juan Soto. And Francisco Lindor leads them in hits with .170. They're doing pretty good. Like, wherever the money has been, it's been working out. The problem has been This team ERA, 4.04. Not the worst thing you've ever seen, but that's not good. You want your ERA to be below 4. That's a good sign. Above 4, even by a little bit, it's a bad sign. And so pitching has really been their issue this year. Their hitters have been hitting. Their pitchers have not been pitching well. Edwin Diaz, I mentioned, their closer, 1.71 ERA. He's done his job. I think that this is a prime example of being top heavy, not solving your problems when it comes to baseball. See, people say, oh, well, you know, the Dodgers spend a lot of money too. Yes, they do. But they are deep everywhere. And they have one of the best farm systems in baseball every single year. That's how they stay relevant. Because they develop players so well that when it gets time to acquire an all-star player, boom, here, take 3 of these prospects. I mean, just think about the trade that landed Max Scherzer and Trey Turner in Los Angeles before both of them eventually left that team. This is back in 2021. Mike Rizzo trades Max Scherzer and Trey Turner for Josiah Gray, Kiber Ruiz. Two, honestly, I would say cornerstone players of the Nationals rebuild. Kiber Ruiz, he signed an 8-year contract extension shortly after. Josiah Gray, the only reason you haven't heard his name is because he had to go through Tommy John surgery. But other than that, he was good. He was positioning himself to possibly be an ace for our team. Obviously, he had some more development he had to go through before he could really take that mantle. But he was looking like he could be on his way. Obviously, now with the emergence of Mackenzie Gore, that is going to be in question for Josiah Gray. It's already a question of when is he even coming back in the first place, but Mackenzie Gore has been so excellent that you're starting to think Gore is going to be the ace for the Nationals, but I digress. A higher payroll doesn't always equal success. And for the Mets, far too often, it has been disappointment after disappointment after disappointment, and something's got to give. Because eventually, you got to start repaying the investment that Steve Cohen is putting into this team. And now he's probably getting his money back just solely based on the amount of ticket sales, jersey sales, all that stuff that he's moving with that franchise. And of course, they did go to the National League Championship Series last year before losing to the Dodgers. So it's not like the Mets haven't been doing anything. But you just brought in Juan Soto. You should not be in this position right now. But hey, that's baseball, right? That's baseball. The last topic I want to attack today as we get ready to wind down episode 1 is WWE. And what I see as TKO killing the product that we all love. Ladies and gentlemen, do you remember when WWE Network first came out? You remember how much it was? $9.99. WWE then took that library and moved it to Peacock. Okay. You know, people didn't really like it at first, but I thought it was fine. And, you know, you could get Peacock for $5.99, then add on, I believe, another like $6.99 or something and get it like commercial free or whatever for all the programs you want to watch. And then Peacock actually had some great programming on it. And it was cool. I liked it. And now they've made yet another deal. Now all premium live events will be streamed on the ESPN app. Ladies and gentlemen, the ESPN Unlimited plan is $30 per month. So we've gone from $10 to about $12. It's about $30 a month now. Not to mention, tickets for WrestleMania have gotten completely out of hand. Ladies and gentlemen, I have been in person to 4 WrestleManias, over 35 live shows. I have never once in my life paid anything close to $2,000 for a nosebleed seat. This is getting ridiculous. WWE, you are pricing out families. You're pricing out your core audience. I get it, man. TKO is just an investment group. They're just squeezing WWE for all it's worth. And then when they're done with it, they'll move on. But that's the insulting part. I've grown up watching wrestling since I was 5 years old. The first wrestling match I ever saw was The Rock versus Stone Cold WrestleMania 15. I had all the video games. I had all the action figures. I knew all the catchphrases. I, like everybody else, got in trouble for doing the DX job at school. Even through their terrible years of terrible writing, terrible storylines, and terrible matches, I stayed with them. I kept watching. This is where I feel like I draw the line. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world where people are getting laid off every single day. This generation is going further and further and further into debt. And yet we still have companies raising their prices on their streaming platforms. And you just think we're going to keep paying it. I know somebody out there will. Yes, absolutely. But at what point do you realize, Wait a second. Even if they do want to pay it, they're not going to be able to pay this. I'm not paying $30 a month for the ESPN app. I'm not doing it. I absolutely refuse. I will not be doing it. There are many just like me that will refuse to do this. We're not doing it. At what point is enough enough? You announced WrestleMania is going to take place in New Orleans. You have The Rock come back just for the announcement. Live television, mind you. In New Orleans, at Smoothie King Arena, he announces WrestleMania is coming to New Orleans, guys. A few months later, hey, just kidding. We're taking it back to Vegas again. They paid us more money. Where's the honor in that? Where's the decency in that? I get it. Nobody's in business to be nice. Nobody's in business to be kind. At some point, enough becomes enough. At some point, we have to start looking at these companies and saying, are we going to keep feeding into this? Or are we going to say, you know what? No, I'm going to just keep my money where it is. And don't even get me started on them taking WrestleMania 43 to Saudi Arabia. Unacceptable. You have had London, Paris, other countries vying for WrestleMania for years. And you take it to the blood money. Like, we're not just going to forget what Saudi Arabia did to that journalist. We're not just going to forget Saudi Arabia's laws and rules that they've had in place against women for generations. We don't just forget that stuff. I don't know what's going to happen with WWE. I don't know what's to come of the company. I don't know what this will result in, but I do know one thing. This will be the one thing that gets me to stop watching. Not the talent, not the storylines, not the matches. This right here. You as a company deciding this is how we're going to operate. Bring back Brock Lesnar before that lawsuit was finished. There's a lot that's wrong with all of this. And quite frankly, I just find it unacceptable. But that'll be it for the first episode here of No Flags. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you do, make sure you tune in for more. I'm coming with more and more and more episodes. And we're not going to stop. We're going to have guest interviews. We're even going to have some debates. We'll even have fan Q&As eventually. This is No Flags. This is your new favorite sports podcast. I'm Alphonso McCree Jr. And I will see you guys in the next one. Have a great day.